Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. Okay. I was with Miss Betsy and Mama Didi on Friday, and we were having lunch. And Betsy turns to me and she says, "I love Grace." Just like that at lunch. I just love Grace. How many of you just love Grace? Loving this series. I mean, it's just been such a cathartic and blessed time of learning. And today I want to get into our next point, which is number 14. We've gone through 14. My series is called, in my notes, Sunday Sermons for Spring or in Summer. And so we're going to be getting down to the end of this before the end of summer. We've got 19 to go, or 19. So we've got 5 more to go. But if you're just tuning in to this series, I encourage you to go back and listen to the archives, because it has been absolutely life-changing. Because of grace, because of Jesus, we have all of these things. And so, Lord, today we thank you for your grace. We thank you for who you are in our lives. And I ask today if there be any lack in any of these areas of our loved ones' lives, that you would fill it with your hope, with your love, with your resources. In Jesus' name, amen. Because of grace, I want you to say this. Because of grace, I have hope. How many of you need hope? You know, we always need hope. In the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul talks about love and what love is and all of these things. I love the faith chapter. You know, there's just certain chapters in the Bible that we could never tire of being in. Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I've committed that one to my life goal, my life study, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I think that every one of us should, because the Word of God says that if we do all these things in life, we're benevolent, give our body to be burned, that's a big sacrifice, right? I mean, that's giving it all. Doing all the outreaches, all the ministry, all the prophesying, speaking with the tongues of men and angels, you know, all of the stuff that we value as believers, you know, prophecy and revelation and all of these things. Because I talked about spiritual gifts last week, if we operate in our gift and we do all these things, but we don't have love and it's not motivated by love, the Bible says we're like a resounding gong, like a clanging cymbal. We're just noise. And that nothing we've done it amounts to nothing. It says, you know, we've done nothing. And so love is the greatest. And love is God. Love is grace. Jesus is not a theology. He is a person. And because of his love and because of his grace, he has given us all of these things. And one of the things I love at the end of the love chapter, it says that after we've done all these things with our life, we're all wanting to make a mark, right? To leave a legacy, something of significance to our children, to have made a difference in the world. But if we do it all and we get to the end of our life, we didn't do it with love, that we're nothing. But there's some things that are going to remain long after all of this is over. And the Bible says that faith, hope, and love will remain. Think about that. Don't lose your hope. Keep it. Because that's one of the things that when this whole thing shakes out and it's all wrapped up, this is going to remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And so there have been seasons of our life where we feel hopeless. How many of you have ever felt hopeless? Like, what you're hoping for, what you're looking at, There's no hope for it. And I want to teach you some things that, first of all, I've done and I've been very tenacious with. And it's what's helped me to remain standing and to remain passionate about my calling and to remain intentional and purposeful. And that is that my hope, and I want to talk about what hope is, my hope, I had to switch it from being anchored in an outcome, in a person, in a resource. And, you know, it's good to have an expectation for the miraculous. We're praying, we're believing that God will do things, that he will fulfill his promises. But if your hope is anchored in anything other than the hope giver, you will end up disappointed in life. And you will end up discouraged, and you will end up flat and feeling defeated and depressed and all of the things that the enemy wants us to feel so he can drag us down. And the enemy is after your hope. And so I want to talk about what hope is. A hope, I was researching it this morning. Hope is commonly used to mean a wish. It's just a wish, right? But it's so much more than that. Hope is a gift. Hope is a gift. It's a grace gift. It's a gift that God gives to us. And hope and faith are just so intricately woven, right? The Bible says now faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. So you can't have the substance, the manifestation of your faith without hope, right? So hope is way more than just a wish. It's an actual thing. It's a gift that God gives to us. And the biblical meaning of hope is this. The world's hope, its strength is in the strength of the person's desire. I want you to catch that. Human hope, its strength is in the strength of your desire. And the devil's going to try to come against your desire. The Bible says he gives us the desires of our heart as we delight ourselves in him, right? In him, in him, in him. So I don't want to get ahead of myself. But if your hope is built on just your desire, it's going to wane and it could even disappear. I love the old song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and righteousness. I dare not trust the weakest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. So human hope rests, its strength is in human desire. But biblical hope is different. It's confident expectation of what God promised. And this gift of hope that God gives us, its strength is in God's faithfulness. It rests in God's faithfulness, not man's desire. Amen? So where is your hope anchored today? Like, are you going to be okay if that relationship doesn't come into your life? Are you going to be okay if a relationship dies in your life? Are you going to be okay if you don't get that job that you've got your hope in? It's good to hope for a job, but your hope shouldn't be so anchored in you getting that job that now you're depressed if you don't. Amen? So I want to talk about, just biblically, the source of hope, because that's so important. Whenever you feel you're starting to feel hopeless, I always say you've misplaced your hope in something other than the Lord. Displaced hope will cause hopelessness. Yes? So you've got to know where your source of hope comes from. And I want to ground this because I'm talking about today that hope is a grace gift from God. So in 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 through 17, Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica, and he says this, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope, watch this, how? By grace. everlasting consolation and good hope by grace. Does it say by your faith in God? No. We get a lot of things because of faith in God. Right? We get eternal life because of faith in God. We need to trust in God. But like faith, is a God-given gift to get us through whatever we go through in life. And I want to show you that God, he's our fountain, and he's ever flowing, so it's always there. I like that everlasting consolation. You know, God was my consolation, and many times when all of you, you love me so much. I had so many people reaching out to me, but you still have to sit in the house by yourself when your husband's dead. Yes, Jackie? And, you know, your children grow up, and they move out and get lives of their own, and you can't sit in your house and your hope be in your house and your hope be in your bank account and your hope be in your spouse and your hope be in your children. I have a lot of hopes for my children. I had a lot of hopes for my husband, but none of these things can be my anchor of hope. Because if hope is anchored in anything temporal, when that temporal thing goes, so does your hope. Yes? So Paul is saying that the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God the Father love us with an everlasting consolation. So consolation will always be there, and we have good hope by his grace. I want you to say this, I always have hope. No matter how hopeless the situation. Because my hope isn't anchored in outcomes. It's anchored in God. Yeah? So, and then he says, may the Lord comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now, in Romans, Paul is saying this as he's saying, you know, something on the subject of hope again. He says, now may God, the fountain of hope. So who's your fountain of hope? You know how many times I've had to say, Lord, you're my fountain of hope. I can't go drink, even as much as that person's bubbling up and bringing some joy to my life, they aren't my fountain. How many of you have had people that were bubbling up with something, all of a sudden it seemed to just dry up? You cannot drink from someone else's fountain. Sometimes they're overflowing. Other times their well is about dry. You have to learn where your fountain is. Now may God, the fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with an uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with his superabundance until you radiate or bubble over with hope. You know, I love being a bubbling over spring of hope in other people's lives. But I don't want them to put their hope in me. You know why? Because I could fail you. If I don't stay connected to the source, I could be the dry one. I give everybody in my life grace to go through dry seasons, right? But I can't go drinking out of everybody else's well. I've got to stay at the well of my own hope. You can clap for that. That's why when the devil tells me this situation's hopeless, I see you're such a liar. At the end of it all, when it's all wrapped up, faith, hope, and love will remain, and the greatest of these is love, and I'm loved. I'm loved today, tomorrow, the next day, and for all of eternity, and you can't take that from me. I have some things that will remain. After the tent is wrapped up and put to bed and everything else, I can never be without it. Yeah? That's why I can smile when people die on me. That's why I can still get up and preach the goodness of God. When people betray me and talk all kinds of crap about me. Yeah? Because they don't get to decide my destiny or my outcomes. It's already written. God's already decided it. And it's good. It's a love story. It's his story. Yes? And he's the God of hope. So you got to believe with me that God, and these verses can't just be things we just lob up. It's truth. We've got to believe that God will do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ask or think. You know, so many people, I don't want to ask God for nothing because I got my hopes up and my hopes got dashed. How many of you have heard that? I asked somebody one day, what are you hoping for? He goes, well, not very much. I'm just kind of got a medium hope because if I hope too much, then I'll be let down. If I don't hope enough, then I'll be depressed. You know, so I'm like, this was at a wedding a few years ago, just somebody I used to know in the past. And I'm just like, just listening to that. And Joyce Meyer wrote a book called Get Your Hopes Up. Get your hopes up. Yeah. God's going to do it. He's going to exceed your expectation. So if true biblical hope is expectation in God's faithfulness, in God's, you know, promises, then we ought to be expecting him to supersede whatever it is we're hoping for. So put your hope out there because your hope is anchored in God, right? Stop being afraid of disappointment. You know, look, I tell the devil all the time, you can't disappoint me. Francis Frangipane said, I don't know if that's how you say his last name. It's one of those French names, but I think it's close. But he said, disappointment is the devil's attempt to disconnect you from your appointment with destiny. To disappoint you. Yeah? God has an appointment for you. Let me tell you something. He has appointed people for this leg of the journey in your life. Yeah? He has new people appointed to you. He has new things appointed to you. He has an appointed time for you. His timing is perfect. God is rarely early, and he's never late. I wish he was early sometimes. He's always right on time. Yeah? And you keep your hope in him. But you know why? Because you can trust his heart when you don't understand what he's doing. You can trust his character when everyone around you is acting crazy. And you can look at God and say, my hope is in you. Work it out with these people. I don't control them. I don't live up inside of them, right? Today, my hope is anchored in you. You know, Zechariah said, return to your prisoners of hope. Return to the stronghold of hope. You know, hope is a strong, strong lover. Hope will hold on to you so strong and love you through whatever you're going through. You need to see that. Hope is the strongest lover in the universe. He's your stronghold. He's your fountain of hope. Oh my gosh. I'm so passionate about this stuff. Ephesians 3:20 in the message. I love this. God can do anything, you know. God can do anything, you know. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. Maybe I should have titled it, God Can Do Anything, You Know. I have to tell myself, God can do anything. Right? Some of you are facing mountains right now that need to move out of your way. And you're looking at it and saying, there's no hope. Don't say there's no hope. Your stronghold of hope is quite capable of moving any mountain out of your way. God can do anything, you know. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. And some versions say expect. You got to imagine it and expect it. Some of you have been in so much hurt and harm and trauma and everything that it's just like you won't let yourself imagine. Your dreams aren't even wild anymore. Some of you have let dreams go. Why are you laughing? You know, God loves it when we have wild dreams. Come on, if it's not ungodly, immoral, or unholy, you need to be dreaming in this season. Bring your dreams back up. Start dreaming again. You know, hope is a grace. It's a gift. It's a gift of grace. And God is saying, where's your hope right now? What did I tell you? What did I say? Yeah, the journey's been like this, right? But the promise stands. The way you get there can be all over the place, but the promise still stands. And God is saying, let your imagination run wild with me again. We tell children, oh, you've got a wild imagination, as if that's a bad thing. You know, when we're children, we can be wild in our imaginations. Again, God is saying, I want you to imagine yourself whole. I want you to imagine yourself happy in your marriage. I want you to imagine yourself debt-free. I want you to imagine yourself with that person that's going to love you and value you and understand who you are and build a life together with that person. God has people waiting for you in the wings, but he can't put you with some hope-filled, wild imagination person and you're all depressed, not believing that it's for you. Come on, you guys. It says he does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. And then 2 Corinthians 9:8 says this, yes, God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace. Remember, God's grace gives you hope. He's ready to overwhelm you so that you will have more than enough of everything, every moment and in every way. He will make you overflow with abundance in every good thing you do. You can't have a scarcity mentality and receive the abundance that God has for you. There's more love. Come on, you guys. There's more joy. There's more peace. There's more friendships. There's more money. Come on, we could talk about money, right? That's my money. That's my honey. There's more than you could ever imagine or think. God has more on the horizon for you. Your best is not behind you. Your best is in front of you. And every setback that the devil has tried to give you is a setup for God's best. I'm telling you, this season ahead of us is going to be so full of his abundance, but you can't receive what you haven't prepared your heart for. Amen. Oh, Lord. 2 Corinthians 9, 8 through 11 in the message. And I just love the way it says it. God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything. More than just ready to do what needs to be done. As one psalmist puts it, he throws caution to the winds, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. We serve a wild God. He is wildly generous. He is wild in his love. He is wild when it comes to giving to you. But if we can't get wild in our dreams, wild in our imagination, wild in what we are believing God for, come on. Born to be wild. Come on, somebody sing. We were born to be wild, right? Yes. His right living, right giving ways never run out, never wear out. The most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, wealthy in every way. My beloved, I would that you would prosper. What? And be in good health, even as your soul prospers. God wants you to be wealthy in your emotions. God wants you to be wealthy in your health. God wants you to be wealthy in your bank account. God wants you to be wealthy in every area of your life. He's a robust God. And he's saying, increase your capacity to receive more. But hope is so important to the manifestation of what you are believing for. Amen. He can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. I want to talk very briefly, and then I'll end this amazing, hope-filled, hopefully building sermon here. I feel built up. Do you feel built up? I do. Because the devil's tried to beat us down all through 2020. And even, like, just looking at the vision right now, God has spoken to me about putting the prayer service on hold for now. And, you know, that's a big part of the vision. But just because it's on hold doesn't mean delay is not denial. You got to understand where the grace is in each season. And right now, because of a lot of things that have been going on, the grace isn't there to keep a service going on a Monday night. But our prayer team's stronger than it's ever been. It's 24/7. And it's right now, we're being asked to be parts of prayer groups that are like at the upper echelon of like that realm. And being trusted with things that we dreamed it and we imagined it. But it's incredible. But I haven't let go of the dream. I haven't let go of it at all. Right now, I have so much hope that God's going to flood this house with some of the best psalmists that the world has ever heard or seen. Yes? And just because we've been pruned doesn't mean that we're not going to have a plethora of keyboard players, guitar players, bass players, drum players. I mean, singers that can sing prophetically to the Lord, at just hours and hours of that. It doesn't mean that it won't happen. It just means that we've got to stay hope-filled and faith-filled, and know your season. So somebody's catching that right now. Yeah? We're not all where we want to be, but we are where we are. And we're still alive. And we're still breathing. And we can still dream. And we can still imagine. And we can still anchor our hope in the strength of God's faithfulness instead of the strength of our desire. And right now, I'm trying to birth new desire in you. God's wanting to birth new desire in you. Yeah? So Peter and these disciples, they were doing their work of being fishermen. They're called by the Lord to come and follow him, but Peter still had taxes to pay. Yeah? You still got a mortgage. You got car payment, whatever. You got responsibility. You still got to pay your electric bill and all these things. You know what can defeat you in the area of hope really quick? Is to go and work your tail end off and have nothing to show for it. I see y'all nodding. Oh my gosh. I used to have this saying, you don't even have to nod because I know. I'm nodding with you, but you don't have to. They've been fishing all night. Probably been fishing for days, and like there's nothing going on here. And they're professionals. Like they are professionals. And they know what they're doing. And so the story goes in Luke 5 that they've been out all night. And most of the good fishing was at night. That's when the fish showed up. How many of you like to fish? I like to fish. And so I don't want to get on a rabbit trail, but that's very cathartic for me. I used to, when I felt safe, I would get a fishing pole and my tackle box and go out by a lake and just spank it. And even if I caught some perch, I was happy, just caught some fish. But night fishing is really good. Yeah, that's when you really catch them. So they're out at night. They come in and they have nothing. You know, as a fisherman, you know all the right holes. You know the fishing holes. You know where to go. You know where they're. This is before they had those, radar things that could tell you where the fish are. But they knew their area. And they come in, and they're hopeless. I mean, it's not a good morning. And so Jesus cares so much about them. You know that God cares about those times when you feel defeated and you have no joy in your work and you've been putting out all kinds of effort and not much is happening. And he always shows up and breathes hope into us right when we need it. That's what he did. In Luke 5, it says, when they pulled up their nets, they were shocked. This is after Jesus told them to go back out. They were shocked. I just feel, I'm going to finish this verse and come back to this in a minute. They were shocked to see a huge catch of fish and their nets were ready to burst. They waved to their business partners in the other boat for help. They ended up completely filling both boats with fish. That's a double portion. With fish until they began to sink. Okay, so the backstory on that is they've been doing a lot and yielding zip, little or zip. And Jesus comes along and tells them, go back out. At the most inopportune time, not the right time, according to the professionals. Do it again. Go where I tell you. And the Lord was speaking to me. I threw this verse in this morning or last week and when I was doing the outlines. And I said, I'm going to bring this in this morning. Because the Lord began to prophesy to me and wants me to prophesy through me. Go ahead, just stand up because I'm done. But I'm going to raise your hands. Because you're about to receive a word that's going to rock you and change everything. If you can't raise them high, just raise them out in front of you. The Lord says to you, you've waited a long time, many of you, for things. And because of all that's going on in the world and some of the traumas that have happened to you, it doesn't feel like the right time for the dreams and the things that God has spoken to come to pass in your life. It doesn't feel like you're the right age. It doesn't feel like after all you've done and all you've partnered with and the people that you put your hope in that disappointed you, it doesn't feel like the right partners are coming, like the right person's going to show up, like the right job's going to be there. Like there's so much that has warred against your bountiful blessing that God is about ready to blow your mind with. And he says, I don't want you to look at the time of day. I don't want you to look at the economic time. I don't want you to look at anything else other than me. I'm going to give you an instruction, and I want you to obey it. Don't try to figure out how, where, when, or anything else. Just do what I tell you to do. I'm in it. And I am about ready to release a double portion of what you dreamt, of what you imagined, and what you need. It is going to so supersede your wildest imaginations. You will not be sunk by what the enemy brought, but you will feel like you're sinking under the weight of my blessings. Receive it and give me praise for it and watch it manifest. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Some of you are going to run up to me with wild eyes and wild stories, and I cannot wait to hear them. Guess what? That's what I kept hearing in the spirit. Guess what? Guess what? Like little children, I kept hearing these little children saying, guess what? Guess what? Guess what? Guess what? You're going to be overcome as you tell your story. Guess what God did? Jesus loves you. He died on the cross to forgive you of all your sins and give you eternal life. That's why we're all here, because we love Jesus. Amen. Maybe you got drug here today. I want you to know something. You're more than a body. We're all going to have to face death at some point, the death of the body. But God wants you to live eternally with him. He loves you. And that is the greatest hope we have, the hope of eternal life with the Lord. It's very simple. He says, just believe in your heart that he paid the price for your sins and that he gives you eternal life. Put your faith in him and verbalize it. You know, I do the sinner's prayer, whatever, but I didn't pray a sinner's prayer when I surrendered my life to the Lord. I just acknowledge him as Lord, and I said yes to him because he was asking me to serve him. Yeah? Isn't that wonderful? Come on, let's just say it this morning. Just say yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Yes to you. Yes, 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 yes. Yes. You know, heaven hears your yes. And I think we've made relationship with the Lord sometimes complicated. We don't grovel. We just recognize we've all fallen short. We've all sinned. We've all done things we shouldn't do. And he loves us. And he made a way for us to be free of that. And so today your yes was heard by heaven. No man can say that he's Lord except for by the Spirit of God. And so I want you to leave here today knowing this. You're saved. You're delivered. You have a fountain of hope. And no matter what you're facing, God's going to get you through it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Well, we'd like to thank you for joining us today. Thanks to those who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that makes this ministry possible. You can click the link below in the description box to give now or visit soulharvestwc.org/podcast for more information. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe. You could also share with your friends. Click the share button, take a screenshot, and also share in your social media stories and tag us at SoulHarvestWC. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.